Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
This TikTok story is absolutely bizarre. It's just quite unbelievable. Teenagers are jumping in front of moving trucks for a TikTok challenge. Two have died so far. They're in Indonesia. Teenagers in Indonesia are jumping in front of moving trucks in a deadly TikTok challenge. The Angel of Death Challenge, that's what it's called, has people jumping in front of moving trucks and trying to stop them. At least two people have died attempting the challenge, while several others, have been severely injured. So this has now started in Indonesia. Last Friday, an 18-year-old in the city of Tenjerang died on the spot when he was run over by a truck while trying to create a social media content. So this is what this is all about, apparently. The officials tweeted a blurred out video of the incident, writing that this reckless action of a teenager trying to stop a truck had killed one person. Are our children at risk? Lisa Klotz is an educational psychologist. She joins us this morning. Lisa, thanks for doing so. How are you today?
Good morning, Howard.
How are you?
I'm well, thank God. How are you?
I am very, very well, thank you.
Good.
So are most teenagers incredibly stupid? Is that what this is about?
Well, I love that article. It started off with the word ridiculous.
Okay, yeah.
I think that sums it up.
But the point is that these things every now and then, and Mukundi and I were doing a bit of a, like before the show this morning, we were thinking about all the ones, you know, there was that one they were drinking, what were they, they were swallowing some rubbish.
Right. Dishwasher pods.
Yes, that was it. You know, there was
also. Teens have been known to do these reckless antics for time immemorial, but it just seems to get more outrageous.
Does social media make it worse, I guess, is the question.
I think without a doubt, that's who they're looking up to as influencers, and they think that this is okay. But I think we also have to look at everything these days in a post-lockdown world.
Oh,
I think
teenagers
believe that they're invincible. They think, here I am, I've survived a pandemic, I've survived lockdown, I even managed homeschooling, so I probably could jump in front of a bus and be quite fun, or not be hit by a truck. They really do believe that it will be okay based on that.
When do we start? When do kids start or young people start to realize that they aren't immortal?
I think, unfortunately, when they see the reality of what happened to them or to their friends,
right,
which is very sad, and they very can't when bad things do happen.
Right.
But unfortunately, their memories are very short.
Yeah, because they're stupid. I'm telling you, that's really the bottom line here.
And it's their developmental phase. They're in a stage of identity versus confusion. They're trying to figure out who they are. They don't know who they are. They don't know what they're capable of. And teens are having a very hard time.
And is that about social acceptance as well? I mean, filming something like that and putting it on TikTok or wherever you put it must give you a lot, or give one a lot of social standing or currency.
Street cred.
Street cred, that's the word. Yes.
I think that's their hope. Whether people think that they're amazing or whether people think that they're really stupid remains easy.
Well, I guess it doesn't matter what adults think, really, because they don't want that. They don't want our recognition.
They want the acceptance from each other.
Right, which makes us particularly dangerous, because no matter what we say, that you and I could sit and talk about this and be outraged by it, but the reality is that I don't know how that helps if we aren't the currency that they're looking to gain.
Absolutely. I think it's just a lot of information, making sure that they're armed with whatever they need to face the world and face the day on a daily basis. You know, we're trying in the school as hard as we can to make sure that they have information about social media, the dangers of it, the legal issues, the moral issues, social issues, more than informing them, more than making sure that we have done our part in terms of equipping them. It's very hard.
So what are we meant to do? You know, you're talking about education. How do we educate around this? Of course, the legal issues we understand, those are very sort of fact-based. But how do we appeal to the young brain that is looking for all sorts of other holes to be filled?
I really think it's about self-esteem. I think that if they're feeling okay about themselves, they're not going to be looking for affirmation in these crazy ways. I think that's the bottom line. I always say without self-esteem, there's not much, because that affects everything. If they're feeling okay about themselves, it really makes such a difference. That's what we have to aim to do with our children.
So that's where it all starts. It all starts with them, I guess, seeking that recognition because they don't feel it, seeking social acceptance because they don't feel accepted. So it's all really about them, them feeling okay with themselves before they, before we get to any of the social media aspects. In fact, social media really may be, if I'm understanding what you're saying, is really just a symptom of the problem. It's a symptom of an illness that needs to be dealt with.
That's what I would think.
So what do we do? How do we deal with this? And especially, you know, you talk about lockdown, you talk about COVID. I think parents as well, and I've noticed this language amongst parents saying, oh, shame, they've had such a hard time. They just need A, B, C, or D.
And
it drives
time.
Me dilly. Because you know what? They haven't been in Auschwitz. I mean, yes, it's hard. I get it. A lockdown has been difficult, and our kids have given up a fortune, and we know that. And those are the years where they've given up on opportunities and sports competitions and going on tours. They have given up, so I can't take that away. But we also have to keep it certainly measured, don't we?
Absolutely. It's to keep that perspective. They lost out, but they also gained in a lot of other ways. There was time with family that they will never get back.
Right.
There were other opportunities that they did get. And I think it's about, I always say, go where the love is. I think it's about knowing what your strengths are, knowing who your people are, knowing where you can go to get that affirmation so that you don't have to do crazy things to feel okay.
So if I think that my child is at risk for doing stupid things on social media, what are the steps that I need to take?
I think parents need to monitor their children's activity on social media. They need to know what they're watching, know what they're being exposed to, making sure that they are doing things that are right for them, that are healthy, making the right choices. And I mean, there needs to be a level of trust between the parents and children, but children need to earn that trust.
So to what age, until what age can we be checking our kids and monitoring our kids' social media?
Yeah, the quintessential question. I think it's about a conversation. I think if children can have that open and honest communication with their parents, if parents are able to ask children what they're doing, what they're seeing in a non-threatening way, it's not about being punitive, it's about keeping them safe.
So, yeah, I guess it's about each individual situation, and it's not easy. It isn't easy to impose this on our children, and we do want to respect their privacy as much as possible, but we also want to help them to survive their teenage years. It is 7:24. Lisa Clouds, educational psychologist, talking to us about the influence of social media and these challenges on our children.